like for you to pray with me once more as we prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, help us to never take it lightly, but always hear it as it is, the word of the living God. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to us today. We are listening. I ask you, Father, that you help me in my weakness. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to say only what is right about you and to say what is right about your church this morning. Lord, may this seed of the word of God fall on good ground and bring forth a great harvest in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to talk to you about church this morning. In fact, we're going to begin a new series just titled Real Church. And I'm excited about this because I'm excited about the Lord's church. You know, for a lot of Christians, church has kind of become nothing more than a place that they go once in a while to sing some songs and to hear some guy talk, and hopefully it won't be too boring. But we need to have a biblical understanding and a biblical view of what church is. I'm telling you, the average Christian doesn't really understand what the church is and what the church is about. Now, the Greek word that's translated as church in the scripture is ekklesia, and it just simply means a gathering of believers. It is a gathering of those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Church. It's not a building, although we often use the word that way. It's not a building, and it's not an event. It's not a service, you know. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we say things like, you know, did you go to church? Well, we know what they're talking about, and so I understand how we use that vernacular, but we need to understand that the church is not a place, it's not an event, it is a people. It is God's people that he has gathered together for himself, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just an organization, as it's often referred to. It is a living organism. It is the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. We need to know that. We need to always remember that and understand that. That the church is the gathering of God's holy people that he has called out from the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus uses the word church. And that is the first time that it was used in the scripture. And I understand, just for those of you that want to come correct me later, I understand that Jesus didn't speak Greek, but by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this is how it was recorded. And that word that was used there, ekklesia, for church, this is the first time in the scriptures ever used. There are 115 times in the whole New Testament, and at least 92 of those, it's talking about the local church. The rest of the time, it's talking about the universal church, and that is all believers from all the ages that he is gathering together as his people for all eternity. But in Matthew chapter 16, it tells us that Peter had a great revelation of who Jesus was. And we're going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus says to them, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter's revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was not something that he just figured out. Jesus makes that very clear when he tells him, "Flesh and blood did reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." This was one of those moments where the Father just gave a revelation, just showed him something that he couldn't have understood on his own, but the Father revealed this truth to him that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was that Messiah that they had been waiting on. And he really was the Son of God. Now, Jesus gives us another great revelation of truth when he says that he is going to build his church. He says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, a lot of people get confused about this because they understand that the name Peter means rock, and so they think that Jesus was talking about Peter. I can assure you that that doesn't bear out in the rest of the Bible. In fact, as you read the New Testament, you see over and over and over again that the church can't ever be founded on any man. It's not about any man, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That rock that he was talking about, that foundation the church is built on, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the truth that the church is built upon. And we need to always know that. Can't be about anything else. Can't be founded, can't be built on anything else. There have been a lot of people that tried to make Peter something that God never intended him to be. But you know that there's a lot of that that goes on in the body of Christ today? That there are people that are try to make somebody something they weren't intended to be? I'm just telling you, it's all about Jesus. It's not about this person or that personality. It's about Jesus. And that is the foundation that the church is built on. Now, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we need to see the church as the Lord Jesus sees the church. Listen, we need to talk about the church the way Jesus talks about the church. We need to renew our minds with what the Scripture says about the church. I can assure you that when we really preach and teach the Bible, it goes against the grain of culture. It does not line up with the philosophies and the attitudes of the day. But too much of the time, the church and church leaders have tried to manipulate the Scripture to make it more palatable to a culture that doesn't really know God. Let me tell you something. We got to stick with the truth of Scripture. And the attitude of the day that has brought down the view of who and what the church is about is not from God. We need to see it the way Jesus sees it. And here's what he declares about his church. I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not be able to stop it. Now that's quite different than what the world says about the church today. It's even a lot different than what the religious world is saying about the church today. But that is the truth of God's word, and I encourage you this morning to get a hold of that. Get it down inside of you. Have a biblical understanding and view of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. See it the way he does. I tell you, he is passionate about the church. Are we? See, a lot of people have this attitude, well, I'd take it or leave it. Not Jesus. He's passionate about the church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. That's passion. We need to be passionate about the church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his vision for the church is victorious. It's unstoppable. That not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against it. But we need to believe the word that Jesus spoke over the church. He is building his church. It is the most powerful force in the world today, by far. Oh, I know some of you think, oh no, the U.S. military is the most powerful force in the world today. Well, the church doesn't have any weapons. What are you talking about? Let me tell you why the church is the most powerful force in the world today. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's what the Bible says, 1 John 4:4. You need to understand that it is the Almighty through the person of the Holy Spirit that is in the church. And that's why the church is the most powerful force in the world today. I don't know how many are truly born again and sold out to God, but I know this, that over 2 billion people claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 2 billion people. I'm telling you, the church is the most powerful force in the world today. Jesus says he's going to build it. Not even the gates of hell will be able to stop it. It's unstoppable. For 2,000 years, everything imaginable has come against the church. Satan has tried to kill it with persecution. He's tried to stop it with all kinds of oppression. He's tried to weaken it with compromise. He's tried to destroy it with dead religion. Nations and kingdoms have come and gone, but the church keeps going, and it keeps getting stronger and stronger. Started with a few hundred people, and now it's over 2 billion people. That's amazing. It just keeps growing and growing. Unstoppable. The emperor Diocletian set up a stone pillar on which were inscribed these words, "For having exterminated the name Christian from the earth." Well, he looks like a fool now, doesn't he? There's more of us than ever. Who is Diocletian? What's more, who cares? But I know who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's the one who's building his church. Another Roman leader made a coffin. It was supposed to symbolize his intention to bury the Galilean by killing his followers. But he soon learned that no matter how many of them he put to death, he couldn't put the master in that coffin. And he eventually became a Christian himself. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can stop the church. The Roman Empire lasted for 500 years. And in history, it's a pretty amazing thing that it lasted 500 years. But it is no more, and the church is. And if the Lord tarries, and let me just clarify that real quick. I think the Lord is coming back soon. I think he's coming in my lifetime. But I readily admit that there have been many, many in years before me and generations before me that thought the same thing. And so if you are unconvinced, let me just tell you once again, you don't know. Jesus said, "No man knows the day or the hour," and I've lived long enough to see man of God after man of God claim that they knew and they didn't. But that being said, if the Lord tarries, here's what I do know. Many of the great nations of the world today will not even exist in a couple of hundred years, but the Church of Jesus Christ will still be getting stronger. You can count on it. It's his church. It is not a man-made organization. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that God is doing. When he says, "I will build my church." No matter what happens to the church, it just seems to emerge stronger. Sometimes it seems that we are losing ground. You know, the church is made up of imperfect people. And there are times when it seems like the church is struggling and not doing well. But then it just comes out on the other side of that stronger than ever. Times and places when the church has had to go underground, they're not able to meet like we are this morning. The things that we take for granted, to be able to come and to hear the Word of God and worship the Lord freely, there's still places in the world today where they can't do that, and that the church has to go underground and they meet secretly in homes and they do the best they can. But how blessed we are to be able to come together like this. But here's the amazing thing, is that even in those situations where the church is persecuted and has to go underground, listen, it's still flourishing. You can't stop it. It's unstoppable. Why? Because he is going to see to it that his church is victorious. So I'm glad, I'm excited to be part of Jesus' church. It's fun to be on the winning team. I know that's not what you're hearing in our culture, that the church is the winning team. I also know what Jesus said, and I put my faith and trust in what Jesus said, not what I hear on the news. He said, I'm going to build my church, and not even the gates of hell. See, he said, I will build my church. He's the one that's doing it. Now, he uses people, but he's the one that's going to see to it. We're talking about the same one who said, I am. That person, the I am, the all-powerful, the one who spoke the worlds into being, he said, I will build my church. It is not just the efforts of man. It is God accomplishing what he said he would do. And if he says that he will do something, he will do it. God is not a man that he should lie. And when he said, I will build my church, I'm telling you, it's as good as done. It's going to happen. He is building a church. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We can't do it on our own. It is God who has to be behind it. He is the one who sees to it. But we get to be a part of it. We are co-laborers together with him. Paul says that one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. He's the one that makes it go. He's the one that makes it grow. I'm telling you, it is God who gives the increase, but we get to be a part as co-laborers with him. I know that we have seen people backslide and fall away. They used to serve God and they don't any longer. I know that we've seen great men fall. And I know that there have been many local churches that over the years just faded away until they finally closed their doors. And yet, through it all, the church is still advancing. The church is still getting stronger. The church is still reaching more people than ever before. That's what you ought to think about the church. The church is reaching more people than ever before. It's amazing what God is doing around the world. So many are coming to know him. He is gathering for himself a people for eternity. Never doubt the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said that he would do it. He said, I will build my church. If he says it's so, it's so. If he says he's going to do it, you know that he is. And since the day that he spoke those words, he has been fulfilling those words. He sends out his word and it accomplishes what he sent it to do. It does not come back void. And he has spoken those words and they are still accomplishing what he sent them to do. He is a faithful God who keeps covenant for 1,000 generations, and he always keeps his word. The sovereign Lord said, I will. Jesus taught us to pray this way: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You want to pray according to the will of God? Pray for the church. Pray that the church will continue to grow. Pray that the church will be built. Jesus said, I will build my church. This is his will. He wants the church to keep growing. That's how I pray for the church. Here's my prayer. Lord, build your church. Pray according to the will of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, 14 and 15 that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. So we pray according to the will of God when we pray for the church to be built, for the church to get stronger, for the church to keep growing, for the church to keep reaching people, for lives to keep being changed, for people to keep being discipled. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the church being built. But it's Jesus who said, I will. One of the things that Job said about the Lord and got right about the Lord is in Job 42 and 2, he said this. He said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I know you can do everything and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. And I'm telling you that nothing and nobody, no devil, can stop the Lord Jesus from building His church. He said, I will build my church. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about a holy temple made of living stones, you and I. He's talking about people. He's talking about the church, those people who, like Peter, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God. We need to always remember the church is made up of people. Not a building. It's not a man-made organization. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is made of people. Lives being changed. Disciples being made. People being reached. That's how Jesus is building His church. And it's going to keep getting bigger and stronger. It is not weak. It is not outdated. It's not losing ground. I'm telling you the truth this morning. What a deception. What a lie has been propagated to try to make us think that we're losing. I'm telling you, we're on the winning team. And you need to open your eyes. Listen, it's what the Word of God says, and that's enough for me. But if you open your eyes and you look at what's going on around the world, I'm telling you, it's amazing. His church is amazing. What He's doing through His people is amazing. So much opposition to the church. A lot of people that try to tear the church down. They're constantly trying to belittle and marginalize the church. But honestly, Christians do more harm to the church than unbelievers. I knew a man one time who would come to church almost every Sunday, and then the rest of the week, as he went around the community doing his job, he visited different stores and places. Everywhere he went, he would talk bad about the church, talk bad about the people, talk bad about what was going on at the church, running the church down. And I'm telling you, that man did more harm to that local body of believers than Satan ever could do by himself. You notice I said by himself, because he was using that man. Don't be a tool. Don't get used. Not by the devil anyway. And I'm telling you, Satan uses people to attack the church, criticize the church, tear the church down. Jesus is building His church. Don't ever be a part of tearing it down, but always say things that uplift and build. Speak well of the church. Ephesians 4:29 tells us we're not to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. See, you and I know this. The church is not perfect. Well, if it was, you and I couldn't be in it. There wouldn't be a church if it had to be perfect. We're not perfect, we're redeemed. But we are the church of Jesus Christ that He is building. People He's gathering for Himself for eternity. So build up. Don't tear down. Don't be a complainer. But be excited about the church and what Jesus is doing in the church. You know, if you're excited about the church, and we need to bring this home, you need to be excited about the local church. So, Pastor, this ain't much here for me to get excited about. You know what? Find you a church where you can get excited, because you need to be taking people to church, and nobody wants to go to your church if you're not excited about it. Well, you know, I found this church over here. You know, it's okay. You know, I can go to this one and maybe someday I'll find something better. Well, nobody wants to go to church with you. You need to be excited about church. Call those things that be not as though they were. If you have to, say, we got a great preacher. I mean, do what you got to do, but listen. One way or another. So I don't want to lie. Talk about the worship team. Talk about the sweetest people God ever brought together in one place. Oh, you need to be excited about church. Jesus is. He's passionate about it. He loves the church. Gave himself for it. Be a part. Be involved. Church isn't, I went to a service. I went over. That doesn't make you a part. Get involved. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You're a part of the body. You need to be involved in what the Lord is doing and building His church. Now, I'm thankful for Christian TV and Christian radio. I believe that God uses those things. But you need to know and understand this, that He wants to use you to make disciples. Disciples can't be made over a radio, through a TV, or even from a pulpit. The teaching is only part of it. Jesus made disciples. A disciple is someone who learns a way of life and then lives it out. Jesus made disciples by teaching them and then modeling for them. He gave them an example. They watched Him. And then He taught them how to do it themselves and helped them do it. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people who have met the Lord. They've prayed a sinner's prayer, but they don't really know how to live a Christian life and be a true follower of Jesus. They need somebody to disciple them. And that happens through the church. He said, go and make disciples, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Be a part in what God is doing. Be a part of building the church. I remember when I was in Little League baseball, I had a coach that had bought an old school bus, and he renovated it, remodeled it, and kind of turned it into a somewhat of an RV. And one day he took us all to the lake, and we did the things, you know, boys do, running, playing, climbing trees, getting in the water, all that stuff. Well, it came time to leave, and we get on the bus, and the bus won't start. It was an old standard shift bus, and so we all got out. We all weighed about 60, 70 pounds, you know. There's 15 or 16 of us, and we all got out. And we all put our weight into it and pushed that bus. We got it rolling and it started. We all got on and went home. But I want to ask you, what would have happened if just the coach got out and pushed? I'm talking about church. What would have happened if five of us would have got out and pushed? Nothing. Half of us wouldn't have got it done. It took all of us to get the job done, to get that bus rolling. And I'm going to say it again, that it is the Lord who will see to it that His church is built. But He uses people. And so often in the local body of believers, there's too many that are sitting on the bus, sticking their head out the window and saying, you're not doing it right. Get out and help. Well, that's real good preaching. I realize it's a little pointed. Sometimes we need it straight. And I'm just telling you, you might not be able, you say, well, I can't do nothing. I can't get this bus going. What do you expect from me? Here's what I know. One of us can't do anything. All of us together can do what God wants us to do and get it done. Too often, the church is relying on just a few to try to get everything done, and it doesn't work that way. We all have a part in it. That's God's plan. That's the way the body is supposed to work, His church. Now, I want you to understand, I am fully aware that it is not by the efforts of man. It's not like, well, let's just all try hard enough. I know it's not the efforts of man. We already read the scripture in Psalm 127 that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. But understand this, that the Holy Spirit works through people. He uses people to get the job done, and He wants to use you. You are a part, He says, of the body. In Ephesians 4:16, he puts it this way, the body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Jesus is building His church. How's He do it? The body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So add your weight. Use what you have, what you can do. Use your gifts, your abilities, your strength to help build the body of Christ. What are we talking about? Reaching people, changed lives, disciples being made, fulfilling the plan and purpose of God, the cause of Christ. He wants to build His church, and He wants to use us to get the job done. Now, because of the constant ridicule against churches and preachers, I have been afraid to talk about money. And like most men, I don't like to admit to being afraid of anything. But deep down in my heart, I know that it's true, that I've been afraid to talk about money. Churches just want your money. Well, those preachers are just trying to get your money. And I hear it and I see it. That attitude is so prevalent in our culture. Preachers being attacked all the time for that very reason. And it's had such an impact, not only on the culture, but even the church, the body of Christ, to where preachers like myself are afraid to talk about it. But I'm not going to be afraid this morning. I'm going to say what I believe the Lord wants me to say. And I'm not afraid. If it offends somebody, I'm sorry that I offended you, but I'm not going to be afraid to speak the truth. I'm going to say it in love, but I'm going to speak the truth. You will never hear me, Lord willing, say, please give. It won't happen. You know, if you're one of those people that you're emotionally moved to give and, you know, somebody's got to pull on your heartstrings, it ain't going to happen. I ain't doing it. And I will never say, if you don't give, blah, blah, blah. No. I want nothing to do with that kind of manipulation. But what I am going to say is that what we do as a church, for the kingdom and the cause of Christ, we do with a third of the people tithing and giving. And that means that there's two-thirds that although they consider it worthy to attend, and maybe they put their kids in the youth and their kids in the children's department and their families blessed and ministered to, they choose not to give and tithe here. They let somebody else provide and take care, but they choose not to tithe here. I say that exactly that way because I know some people, they're like, well, I give my tithes over here. You tithe where your family is ministered to. That's what's right. Why don't you send your taxes to Mexico?
Well, I'll give my tithes to brother so-and-so.
You give your tithes where your family is ministered to. But what could we do? I want you to know, our church board does the best they can to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. I've had missionaries come into this building, and I can tell by the look on their face. I asked one time, I said, so you think we had a lot of money, don't you? He said, yeah, that's what I thought when I walked into this building. Listen, we've done our best to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. I want to ask you, what could we do if we had three times as much money? What if everybody tithed? It is not about the church having more. It's about the church being more. I can't imagine. Listen, all that we could accomplish if everybody tithed and everybody gave. So many ministries could be expanded and started and things happening. Why don't we do this and why don't we have that? You know, we're over at this church. I know. Be a part of Jesus building his church. I will build my church. My church. It's his church. He makes it so personal. Think about the words that he said. My church. My church. This is your Lord, your Savior. He says, my church. It's my church. He bought it with his own blood. He has every right to call it his church, my church. I pastored one church one time where some of the people made it very clear to me that it was their church. I was at the gym one day and I had befriended a man there and we worked out together. Well, one day one of my church board members at that church showed up and he was friends with the man also. He was a mutual friend, and the guy that I met there, he says to this board member, he says, oh, I didn't know you went to Mark's church. And the board member said, I don't. He goes to ours. Well, I got to tell you, it ain't Mark's church. And it ain't their church. It's Jesus' church. And that's the way it is. And no, listen, it's not about this person or that person, this family, that group. It is about Jesus. It's his church, he said. I'll build my church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He is the example for every husband. Love your wife and give yourself for her. This is Christ's example. This is what he did for the church. He loved us. He's so passionate about the church. He loved us. He gave himself for her. Now think about this. You see the attitude of the day? They don't think much of the church. Jesus does. He gave himself for the church. A lot of people just act like they can take it or leave it. But he loves the church. And I think if we're followers of Jesus, so should we. Some have the attitude that, well, you know, I love the universal church, but I don't need a local church. Well, you ain't read the Bible. Plain and simple. And that's as hypocritical as the man who says to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? See, it's easy for us to say, well, I love everybody as long as I don't have to love the guy next door. And it's easy to say, well, I love the church as long as I don't have to be a part of one and get with all those imperfect people. Love the church. Jesus loves the church. In fact, you just need to start talking that way. I love the church. It might change your attitude, get your talking right and get your thinking right. You'd be surprised what God might do in your life. I'm telling you, it is the local church where we become a part of the church, and in a practical way, we love one another. Remember, 90% of the time, over 90% of the time, when the scripture uses the word church, it's talking about a local church. You know, Paul said, here's a just an example. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:28, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. He wasn't talking about the universal church. He was concerned about those local churches. We need to care about the local church. We need to love the local church. He said, my church. It's his bride. I read in the scripture that we are going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't understand all of that, but I do know this. You don't talk bad about another man's bride. I already told you one of my weaknesses. Now here's another one. If you say something bad about my wife, it's going to be all I can do to walk away. Because if I had my way, you wouldn't be walking away. That's the way I feel about it. Now, I know that's not right. And I know I've seen over the years that the Lord takes care of her. And people said ugly things about them, and I watched. It wasn't a long time later either. And I watched as their lives were upended and turned over. I'm just telling you, the Lord keeps His word. He is our avenger. But here's what I really want to get at here. How do you think Jesus feels about people who belittle and talk down His church and say ugly things about His church? I'm talking about the church, His people, His bride that He is preparing for Himself for eternity. How do you think He feels about that? And I hear people with their mouths criticizing the church. Oh, how we need to be careful what we say about the church. I see the post on the internet, people talking about how Christians should do this, Christians shouldn't do that, and Christians this and Christians that, accusing and criticizing. They're doing the work of the enemy, who is the accuser of the brethren. And they post this stuff about how the church should be doing this, and church shouldn't do that, and the church this, church that. And most of the time, these people don't even know the Bible, and much of what they say doesn't really line up with Scripture. It sounds good, and it sounds religious, but I'm just telling you, they have no business criticizing and attacking the Lord's church with their words, belittling and bringing down the church. So much garbage in this world, so much horrible things going on in this world, and they can't find something better to do. I'm telling you, this is religious people. Phariseeism, they can't find something better to do than to criticize and attack the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're participating in what the enemy wants to do and bringing down the church. Jesus wants to build the church. He said, my church, church, God's people, imperfect people, that He is gathering together to be the unstoppable church, His people, for all eternity. From the very beginning, He has always had a plan to have a people for Himself, a people that would be His very own. That is what the church is, a people that have been called out from the world to be His people. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He's called us. Called us out of sin, called us out of darkness, called us out of dead religion, called us unto Himself to be His church. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is our foundation. It is not a denomination. It is not a personality. It is not, listen to me, it is not somebody's pet doctrine. This is our foundation. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. He said he would build his church, and not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against it. His church is, in a word, unstoppable. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you for the church. I thank you, Father, for this local church, these sweet people that love you and love others. I thank you, Father, that you have brought us together to do a work for you. And I pray, Father, that you use us in this day, in this hour, in this world. In Jesus' name I pray that. And Father, I pray this morning for those that may have come and don't really have a personal relationship with you. I pray that today that will change, that they'll come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for those who have been hurt and disappointed in church in the past. I pray that today, Lord, that you would just do a work in their heart and heal those old hurts. Lord, that they'll be able to just move forward and be a part of what you're doing. And I pray today, Father, that for each and every one of us, oh, Father, that we truly will be excited about being a part of your church and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment, but as we dismiss this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. I believe there's somebody here this morning that maybe you've known about the Lord, maybe you've been in church, but you've never really turned your life over to Him. You've never really invited Him in to be your Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Let somebody pray with you. He loves you. He died for you to make you one of His own. But it's up to you. Some of you here this morning, you know that there's been some attitudes in your heart. Maybe you've even said some things, being critical of the church. I just want to encourage you. Now, listen, I understand, as I prayed a moment ago, I understand some of you have been hurt, been disappointed. Things didn't go the way you thought they would. But I just want you to understand that God still wants you to be a part of His church and what He's doing. And for whatever reason, if you hadn't been being a part, I want to encourage you to come this morning and just make it right. Just decide that you're going to be a part of what God's doing, that you're going to give it your all, give it your best, and really be a part. As always, if you have any kind of a need, a prayer request this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. So as I dismiss you, if you need prayer for any reason, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.